Political Cesspool Radio Program, third and final hour, if you can believe it, already upon us. You know who you're listening to, the Political Cesspool on AM 1380 WLRM Radio, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. We just wrapped up Hutton Gibson's third appearance on our show. If you missed any of that, we encourage you to revisit it in the broadcast archives, which are available right after the conclusion of tonight's broadcast. Joining us now, the director of the National Prayer Network, Reverend Ted Pike. And Ted, as you know, we have a lot of ground to cover in very short order. How are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me, James.
Well, you know, as I told you, a lot of people have really taken interest in this conversation that we're having. And when it came time to bring forth the two best guests that I could pull, you were there. You, Ted, and of course Hutton Gibson from a Catholic perspective. We have a lot of people now who are witnessing the apostasy in the church and a lot of the false prophecy that we see going on, and they are abandoning the religion. They are abandoning the Christian faith, turning their back on Jesus Christ because of a lot of the things that they see going on today. And I'm going to just ask you, Ted, in no particular order, a few rapid-fire questions, and we're going to cover as many of them as we can. These are some of the questions that have been coming into me that people want answers on, and they're not getting it from their ministers. People say that Christianity is a weak religion. It's not a religion that is healthy for white people because it centers around the worship of Jews. What does all of this talk about chosen people really mean, Ted?
Well, the truth is that Abraham was given a covenant by God. The first one was in Genesis 12, 2, in which God said that as a result of Abraham's remarkable faith in being willing to even obey God to the point of sacrificing his son on Mount Moriah as a living sacrifice, that God was going to make an everlasting covenant with him, and it would never be abrogated. Now, this covenant was to be to Abraham and his seed, singular, meaning Jesus Christ, as Galatians 3 makes clear, but also it was to be to those who do the deeds of faith of righteous Abraham. And God makes it very clear that to Abraham, in fact, in Deuteronomy 7:12, God's conditional terms are laid down. He says, if you listen to these judgments and keep them and do them, the Lord God will keep with you his covenant and his loving kindness, which he swore to your forefathers, meaning Abraham. So Abraham received a covenant which was everlasting. It was a land covenant which applied to the believing children of Abraham by faith, particularly the Jews. But as Paul says in Galatians, all of us by faith and trust in Jesus and repeating the works of faithfulness of Abraham become children of Abraham and inheritors of the promise. Now what this means is that, as Paul goes on to say, he says there are many so-called Jews who claim that they inherit the promises given to Abraham, but Jesus calls them liars, the synagogue of Satan. Paul says they're broken off branches. They are not all of Israel, which are in Israel. What he's saying is there's a covenant, there's a timeless covenant that God is going to have righteousness out of a remnant of Jews at his second coming, but for the meantime, we have the vast majority of Israel going into the deepest and darkest apostasy, following the Pharisees, following the Talmud, inciting world revolution and racial unrest and all kinds of evil things, homosexuality, abortion, and so on. These people, Scripture tells us, are not real Jews. They are false Jews. They are the synagogue of Satan. But the fact that they have fallen away and become such apostates in no way besmirches the fact, the wonderful covenant that God gave to righteous Abraham and to his righteous seed, both Jew and Gentile, for all time.
And Ted, I know that you have a very interesting article that everyone listening to the broadcast tonight should read at your website, truthtellers.org, The True Meaning of God's Covenant with Abraham, which actually dovetails into my next question. You see so many so-called Judeo-Christians or Zionist Christians, Christian Zionists these days, Michelle Bachmann immediately comes to mind, who always throws out her subservience to Israel with this line, those who bless Israel will be blessed, those who curse Israel will be cursed. A lot of people look at that and say, well, you can't be a real Christian unless you give all of your foreign aid to Israel, unless you give their sons, your sons to die in asinine wars on behalf of Israel. How is that line being misinterpreted?
Well, she's misquoting the covenant given to Abraham. God says to Abraham, because you, Abraham, have obeyed me, I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. What she's doing is she's doing something very unbiblical. She's overturning God's law, and she's saying everybody who is the genetic or claims to be the genetic descendant of Abraham suddenly, even though he may be a communist or a Pharisee, a Christ-hating Talmudist, they all receive these covenant blessings, blessings to be God's chosen people, blessings to inherit the land, even blessings to occupy the land in disobedience, which is what has happened for the last century in Israel. All of this is rank heresy.
We're going to be getting into a lot more of these topics with Reverend Pike in the time that we have remaining with him tonight. Some questions, and I'll just throw them out to Ted here. These are questions, Ted, we're going to be asking you in the forthcoming segment. We have actually a minute left before the next commercial break. I'll try to work one of these in, and you can start your answer now, Ted, and we'll continue it after the break. But this is something that is so important. We all know, as Christians and as people in the America First movement, we know that there is a sensitive topic out there right now that pertains to Jewish power and influence. Jews have a disproportionate amount of power in American government and media and academia compared to their proportion of the population. Can you be aware of this sensitive topic and know that the Zionist Jews who have ascended to these positions of powers, use their influences to attack Christianity? Can you realize that and still be a Christian? Actually, Ted, I'm going to have you ponder that question, and Ted Pike's answer to that will be forthcoming right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned. Our second featured guest of the night is a blockbuster one indeed, Reverend Ted Pike, our good friend. Stay tuned. His answer right after these words from our sponsors. All right, no time to waste. James Edwards, the political cesspool. Our guest is Reverend Ted Pike this hour. Ted, I asked the question of you before we went into break. Can you be aware of the sensitive topic of how Zionist Jews in positions of power in this country are using their influence to adversely affect Christianity and still be a Christian?
Well, I don't see how you can't be aware of that fact. It's overwhelming. The evidence is that the Jewish supremacists completely dominate big media in the United States. They founded the three major TV networks. They control Hollywood. They founded all of the film industry in Hollywood. They control the biggest publishing in New York and some of the very biggest papers in the United States. They also play a disproportionate role in Congress, promoting a Zionist and liberal agenda. They surround Obama and the White House. They're responsible, basically, for moving America into no-win wars in defense of Israel in the Middle East. They control the stock market. How can a Christian not be aware of the disproportionate influence of about 1.5% of the population on America in a very corruptive way, in a very manipulative way? Now, back in the Old Testament, when the great prophets like Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Hosea, when they looked upon the evil of the priests of Jerusalem and their corruption and how they were making the law of God of none effect, they didn't have some kind of policy that you can't criticize God's chosen people. No, they spoke out directly. They spoke out against the leaders, against the priests, against the common people, and they had no fear of being called anti-Semitic in doing so. They spoke out boldly because they loved the Jewish people and they didn't want them to go to hell. And that duty is incumbent upon every Christian today. We speak out, we criticize the misbehavior and the persecutions of Israel in the Middle East or Jewish control in America because we want to send a message to the Jewish people that they have been following the worst possible leadership in following the Pharisees and their Babylonian Talmud and following the wicked leaders of Israel. They need to realize they should have followed Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago.
Reverend Ted Pike, everybody. Listen, I tell you, this is the kind of message that I only wish we could hear from any number of pulpits, both Catholic and Protestant, and I'm a Protestant, but I tell you, I have a great deal of respect for our previous guest, Hutton Gibson, tonight. But Ted, these are the kind of truthful admonitions that you just don't hear in very many churches these days, not all. But most seem to be following this multicultural, politically correct path. And we've talked now a little bit about the Jewish question. Let me ask you this. You know, we have really been hammering my denomination, the Southern Baptists, here in recent weeks for a lot of their apostasy. They have recently elected a token black minister from Louisiana to be their vice president, the first time in the history of the Southern Baptist Convention that that's happened. They have said that it is a sin and that we must repent of our racism, whatever racism may be. Now, I'm not talking about an irrational hatred for people who aren't of your culture. Obviously, you know, that's something that you need to deal with. But I'm talking about, can you be a racial realist? Can you be realistic about the racial differences that we have and still be a Christian, Ted? A lot of churches say no. What do you say?
Well, of course you can. And in regard to the blacks, the fact of the matter is that at the beginning of the church age, Philip was transported by the Holy Spirit to be set in a chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch who was sincerely inquiring concerning the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning Jesus. And Philip was able to elucidate that and bring him into the kingdom. And the truth of the matter is that in Christ there is neither male nor female, bond nor slave, and I might paraphrase black or white, but as we as free will beings, each made in the image of God, trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we find not only acceptance with Christ, but we find fellowship in the body of Christ. Now, there are different customs in different countries, and I am not at liberty to tell people in the South to exactly follow perhaps my feelings or vice versa, but what unifies the body of Christ is a spirit of love and a spirit of a unity and commonality in seeking to find and lead the lost to repentance in Jesus Christ. And what is so unnatural, however, is that ever since the Civil Rights Movement, and particularly the Civil Rights Act of 1965, there has been a very concerted effort by the Jewish lobby, by the Anti-Defamation League, and later the Southern Poverty Law Center, and all of this to make use of black dissatisfaction, feelings of resentment toward whites and so on to rub raw the divisions of a racial separation or racial animosity in a way that is very contrary to the spirit of Christ. And I think it's a very beautiful thing when we find blacks and whites working together. For example, we help support a mission in Haiti. We send funds and contributions to support very, very dedicated and selfless Christian black workers in Haiti ministering to that unfortunate island. It's a wonderful thing when, in the spirit of Christ, we can leap across these boundaries. But there is no doubt about it that the ADL, the Jewish supremacists, have done their very best to create dissatisfaction, complaint, and so on, where I believe historically the message of Scripture should be one of peace and tolerance to a much greater degree.
Well, along those lines, Ted, let me ask you this. You know, you hear the term batted about all the time, Judeo-Christian. Is that an oxymoron? Can you be pro-Jewish and looking out for the best interests of, you know, in this case, in the context of this discussion, Zionist Jews, and also be pro-Christian at its core?
Well, the truth of the matter is that Christianity did evolve out of the old Hebrew religion. Tragically, however, several centuries before Christ, the Pharisees came from Babylon to Judea, and they set up dominance over the religious establishment in Judea, and they created what is now called rabbinic or modern Judaism, which is based basically on the oral tradition, the Mishnah of the Talmud, which overthrows just about everything God ever tried to teach the Hebrews about ethics and morality and decency and so on. And what modern apologists for Judaism say is that we as Christians owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to rabbinic Judaism or modern Judaism for giving us Christianity. They say Jesus was a rabbi and he attended synagogue and Paul was a Pharisee and all this kind of thing. The truth of the matter is that the only thing we owe anybody in the Hebrew tradition are those valiant warriors of the faith like Elijah and Elisha and Joshua and Moses and the great Hebrew prophets who are always the minority. Always the minority fighting, usually a rebellious majority of Jews and Hebrews. It was those lone people, the fathers, real fathers of the faith, that we owe a debt of gratitude. But we owe nothing to the synagogue of Satan. We owe nothing to the rebels of ancient Israel who tried to take the Jewish people into apostasy, into Baal worship, and so on. And now today, our ethics... Our ethics come very largely from the law and the prophets, but they have nothing to do with rabbinic or Talmudic Judaism.
Hold on right there, Reverend Pike. We're going to bring you back for a closing question, closing segment before we move forward tonight. Stay tuned, everybody. A commercial break is bearing down on us hard. Reverend Ted Pike. It's been a very, very busy show tonight with Hutton Gibson and Reverend Ted Pike as our featured guest. About to bring on Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who's going to close up shop with us tonight, co-hosting with me. Ted, you know, originally we had you scheduled to appear with us for 30 minutes. We've extended that just a little bit tonight. I'd like to ask you one closing question in summation. I know you were in the middle of making a point before that last commercial break came up upon us, but this was my last question for Mr. Gibson. I'd like for it to be my last question for you as well. I certainly agree with everything you've said on the broadcast tonight. It goes without saying. But, you know, for a lot of people out there who are listening to this show tonight who have become disenchanted with Christianity because they go to their churches in their local neighborhoods and they hear in the sermons that you've got to give Israel a blank check. If you don't give Israel a blank check, if nothing, you know, nothing Israel does is wrong. And if you don't believe that, then you're at odds with Christianity. They also say if you're not going out and you're reaching out to the third world, you're not a Christian. A lot of people see this, and it's at odds with their political beliefs. We have, I think, established that they are at odds with the apostate church. I know, Ted, that you would echo my endorsement that they not forsake Christianity itself, the true gospel of Jesus Christ, because of some of the things that they're hearing from these pulpits these days. Am I wrong in that assessment?
Well, the truth of the matter is that we have an obligation to be suspicious of rabbinic Judaism. Our Lord himself said, beware of the leaven, meaning the teaching and the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Now, he's talking about a great theological movement that was beginning there. It had been picking up steam for about two centuries. It had completely taken over the religious establishment, as I said, in Jerusalem. But he knew exactly what rabbinic or Talmudic Judaism was going to make of itself, certainly during the next 2,000 years. And his words echo, they resonate over time to the church today, saying, don't believe everything you're told by the Zionist lobby. don't follow like a mindless lemming and swim out to sea on behalf of Israel, because you're going to perish. The scriptures are very clear. In fact, Paul tells us that unbelieving Jews are enemies of the gospel for the sake of including the Gentiles into the true vine of Christ. The Jews have been pushed out in order that the Gentiles can come in, but in the process, he says, they have become relentless enemies, that is, Christ-rejecting Jews. And that certainly is the record of the New Testament. In about 25 different incidents in the book of Acts, we find these apostate Jews being jump-starting persecution, attempting to destroy the Christian church in its infancy. And now, as we see tremendous ascent of the power of the Jewish lobby and Jewish supremacism in the world today, we are encountering, as I've said on many programs such as this, we are encountering that the synagogue of Satan is actually creating Christian persecuting hate crimes, laws, and legislation, discrimination against Christians worldwide, that will lead into the time of Antichrist, the rise of Babylon the Great, which is Israel and apostate Judaism. And therefore, Christians have every duty to look into the nature of Judaism, the skeletons in its closet. I don't think there's any religion that has more to hide than Talmudic Orthodox Judaism. We need to look into those things. And as we do conclude, I'd just like to encourage people to come to truthtellers.org, which is our website. We have an excellent article just came out a couple of days ago that you mentioned about the true meaning of the covenant with Abraham. We have hundreds of articles there posted over the years which give a complete, a biblical understanding, I believe, of this very thorny, evasive problem. But it's time for Christians to realize that it is not anti-Semitic to criticize evil Jewish leaders. It is, in fact, exactly what Jesus did. It's exactly what John the Baptist did. It's exactly what all the greatest prophets did, and certainly nobody is going to call them anti-Semitic.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hear from a true man of God, if you want to hear a true Christian sermon, you need to read some of the content that Ted Pike, Reverend Ted Pike, of course, provides for you at his excellent website, truthtellers.org. That is the brand of Christianity that we adopt for ourselves here as your host in the Political Cesspool radio program. Ted, I can't thank you enough for joining us this evening and being part of what I think has been a blockbuster lineup between you and Hutton Gibson. Hopefully we have given a lot of people who are thinking about re-embracing paganism an alternative tonight.
I hope so. The assault on those who attack or criticize Israel, calling them anti-Semitic, is real disinformation. When I speak out against apostate Israel, I am mirroring Jesus and the greatest prophets. I consider myself part of an illustrious tradition. And I believe as we speak out and we join forces with many, many millions of people also who are expressing righteous indignation against the terrible behavior of Israel in the Middle East, I believe we're actually going to see many people attracted to authentic Christianity rather than thinking that Hagee and Falwell and these other people really reflect Christianity.
Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Ted Pike, check out his work, support his work at truthtellers.org with people like Ted and Hutton Gibson defending the true tenets of Christianity. There is a place in that faith for our people, to be sure, and it's the place where we want everyone to arrive at. Reverend Pike, thank you for your participation in tonight's broadcast, my friend. We look forward to the next time already.
Thank you, James.
Reverend Ted Pike, everybody.